News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.
Now, two new average speed camera systems go live in Cavan and Mayo this weekend. And Minister for Justice Helen McEntee joins us now for more on this. Minister, firstly, how do these average speed camera works and where and when will they be in effect?
Well, firstly, these are being rolled out in two locations tomorrow, and they'll come into effect by tomorrow, and there'll be a third rolled out before the end of the year. This is on the N5, the N3, so that's over in Swinford and County Mayo and Cavan. And the reason that these locations have been chosen really is because of the increase or the number of crashes or accidents that we've had, the number of fatalities and serious accidents on these roads. What we know is, and, you know, look, I think we've all been really shocked by the increase and the significant increase in road deaths and accidents over the last number of years, particularly post-COVID. So we are all doing everything in our power to not just to turn that around, but to reduce the numbers again. And what we know is that where you introduce technology, you change people's behaviours. And where we already have two average speed cameras, so the M7, for example, there's about 20,000 cars use that every day. And there's on average 30 fixed charge notices. So that is a huge level of compliance for people on that road. Or if you look at the Port Tunnel, there's over 26,000 people use that, and there's only on average about 10 fixed charge notices every day. So people who use those roads where there are average speed cameras, they stick within the speed limit. And that's the overall objective here. We want people to change their behaviours. This is not about trying to get fines or trying to catch people out. It's about changing their behaviours, because about 30% of the accidents and the road deaths that happen on our roads, they are all related to speed.
Okay.
So, you know, I've been working really closely with the Gardaí, and this is just the start of new technology that's being rolled out. So we'll have three average speed cameras by the end of the year. We will have 9 fixed cameras that will be in place by the end of the year. And then I secured an additional 9 million in our budget for over 100 cameras that will be put right across the country next year. Again, the overall aim, not of trying to catch people out, but of trying to change people's behaviours and slowing them down on our road.
If we know, though, and I absolutely accept that this is the case, that people respond better, motorists behave differently with these average speed cameras than maybe the kind of the random speed cameras being placed around the place, why are we still putting in the sort of the discreet individual speed cameras rather than doing this, I suppose, in more locations?
Well, for the average speed cameras, there's a particular type of road that you can use. We're testing that, and that's why we're starting to roll them out. And I think we need to do more than just that. But the static cameras as well, what you see in other countries is where you have cameras and where you potentially move them around if somebody isn't sure whether there's a camera there or not. On the off chance that the camera is there or in that static location, they're more likely to reduce their speed and to just change the behaviour. And I suppose it is a mindset. It's about getting people into the mindset that if I am caught, that I will get an automatic fixed charge notice. It's €160. If that's going to happen to you on a regular basis, plus 3 penalty points, people do change their behaviours. And I think we all,
we know they work, but road suitability isn't everywhere for these types of cameras.
No, but that's why we have the mixture. So it's not just the average speed cameras, it's the fixed cameras as well. And where we can do more, so this is just the start. I absolutely believe that this will just be the start, but we know they work. As I said, there's almost 98% or 99% compliance in the two areas where they work. We'll roll these three out, or the Gardaí will. We'll make sure that the 100 static cameras next year and the 9 this year are rolled out, and then that we go beyond that as well. And really, what we're already starting to see, so where the Gardaí have introduced their 30 minutes per day of roads policing, where every member has to do this, there's been an increase in detections for people who aren't wearing seatbelts, for people who aren't concentrating, who are driving on the phone. There's been an increased detection of people who are driving or using drugs. But there's been, I think, a gradual decrease in speeding because we are starting to see people's behaviours changing.
Right.
And that is the overall objective here, to save lives, because all of these numbers that we talk about, they're people and their families that are impacted.
Okay. Minister, obviously it's been reported in the papers this morning that Gerry Hutch has been arrested in Spain. How significant is this I suppose, dual operation between Ireland and Spain, between the police forces of both, but this arrest now, the significance of this in terms of, I suppose, our gangland situation and our drug situation here?
You'll appreciate, Ciara, while I can't talk about the individual cases or what might have happened in the last day or two, what I hope this shows and sends a very clear message to people is that our Gardaí are working hand in hand with their colleagues, with police forces right across the world. We have very close connections and ties with our colleagues across Europe. We work very closely with Europol, but also Interpol. And only in the last few days myself, I travelled to the UAE where we have now signed a treaty with them around extradition and mutual legal assistance to mirror so much of what we already have in our European countries. So we're doing everything that we possibly can, myself, this department, this government, working with the Gardaí to put in place the structures, the relationships and the people that we need on the ground outside of Ireland to deal with organised crime and to make sure that people who are at the very top, who are organising so much of the destruction that we see across our towns and villages, who are responsible in so many ways for all of this, that they are being held accountable and that they are brought to justice and that they don't think they can simply leave the country and start a new life somewhere else and continue that misery at home here in Ireland.
Okay. The hate crime bill, obviously without the hate speech part of it, the hate crime bill has passed through the House of the Oireachtas. Is there still a question, and it has been raised within particularly the Seanad, the issue of gender, the poor definition or the lack of definition around gender, is that going to be an issue going forward? I believe the wording of it currently states that the definition of gender includes the gender of a person or the gender which a person expresses as the person's preferred gender or which the person identifies, which includes transgender and a gender other than those of male or female. If somebody is neither male nor female nor transgender, to be honest, I think an awful lot of people are very confused about what that actually means.
I think we need to take a step back here. And I said this very clearly in the Seanad and indeed in the debate last night in the Dáil. I think a lot of people are missing what the objective of this is. This is not a gender recognition bill. This is not a bill focusing on the legal status of a person, because what some people had asked is that, you know, if you were assaulted and you were transgender, unless you could present a cert, then this wouldn't actually apply to you. We know that there are people who are non-binary. We know that there are people who don't conform. And it's not about what is their legal status. It's about the fact that there are minority people in this country, and in particular the LGBTI community, who are being targeted, where there have been increases in hate crimes, where people have been physically assaulted because of the fact that they're different, because of the fact that they don't conform. And so this bill, what I wanted to ensure is that those people are protected. And it's not just about the LGBTI community.
And I wholly accept that, by the way. I really do. But is there a difficulty if we haven't defined it correctly? I know Regina Doherty, when she addressed the Scottish Parliament, said that there were 9 genders. The SNP only this week said that there were 24 genders. I think most ordinary people are utterly confused on this front and can't name any genders beyond transgender and male and female.
And again, the point is not that we're defining genders. What we're saying is if you are somebody who doesn't conform, if you are not, you know, part of the 95 or 99% of people perhaps in this country, but if you are part of a group that is being targeted and is more vulnerable, that you under this legislation will be protected. And I have examples through our Gardaí where people who are non-binary, who identify as non-binary, people who are transgender, where they have been physically assaulted, and it's very clearly because of the fact that they are different. We need to make sure that they are protected. We need to make sure that they come in under this legislation and that they're not excluded. And that's why that terminology has been used. What's interesting is that the people who object to this and the people in the Seanad who objected to this and the Dáil, they don't put forward any alternative. They don't put forward any amendments or changes that would actually protect in particular transgender people. What they're suggesting is that we remove that completely. And again, it's missing the point. But it's not just the LGBT community that we're protecting here. What this bill is now saying, and it's enacted, and I really look forward to seeing this come into effect. If you are somebody of colour, if you are somebody from a different part of the world, if you're somebody who's part of the LGBT community, if you have a disability, if you are one of the protected characteristics and you are the victim of a crime, if you're assaulted or harassed, or you're threatened in any way, and that is motivated by hatred, there will be a stronger penalty. And I think that sends the strongest message can possible.
Minister,
we're here to protect people.
Briefly, and I do mean briefly, and very lastly, the Kyran Dernan case, obviously searches are ongoing, but issues around Tuusla. Is Tuusla fit for purpose?
Yes, I believe it is. But I believe with any organisation, if there are changes, if there are issues that need to be addressed, if there are, you know, this is a really tragic case. I think it's very difficult for everybody to get their heads around what has happened here. And really importantly, a Garda investigation is underway, and Gardaí are engaging with all of the state services, as well as a huge number of people locally and those who would have known or been part of Karen's life. I would just plead with anybody who might have information. But if lessons need to be learned and people need to be held accountable here, then that absolutely has to happen. But Minister, we need to get the answers to what's happened here first.
Minister for Justice Helen McEntee, thank you very much for joining us.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.